Well, it's good to be back with you. I was supposed to be in Oklahoma last week and decided to assemble someplace else. I assembled up at the ER, just right up the street, not desirably, but needfully. And the way I felt, I was ready for Jesus to return. And I pray that you kind of felt the same way of Jesus's return as you came here last week. But I want to talk to you a little bit about that moment because I thought, you know, I miss being here. I miss going out and seeing family in Oklahoma. And hopefully I can do that some other time. But you know, God can work for good in all circumstances. And I want to tell you about, especially before, right before my twin came and saw me. My older twin. And then served me and took me home and talked and gave encouragement. But there's a young man that walked into the room, and then a young woman walked into the room, and I know what she was all about, but I didn't really know what he was all about because she had all these different vials that that kind of go into your vein, and then all that red stuff just keeps coming out. I don't know how many quarts they took out of me, but that seemed like quite a bit. I think I at least still had 5 quarts left, so that was enough. When I was talking with him, because he came in first, he was just going down through some of the business stuff. And you know, when you're sick, talking business is not fun. That's the least amount of what you want to talk about. But I had my cards ready and everything, so I wouldn't have to shuffle around with that. But I believe his name, and it's hard to tell, and I'll probably have to correct myself once I find out later. But I thought his name was Eric because talking through the mask and hearing and everything, it was difficult to understand. But he went down through and he says, "Well, I see that you work here for the Hickory Church of Christ. Now, where's that located?" And I said, "Well, we meet down just right down the street down here." And he said, Oh, so you're a minister." And I said, "I'm one." He just lightened up. He just said, "You know, I just want to tell you it's a privilege to meet you." I haven't had that in a long time. I haven't had that, you know, from my friends and family for a long time. And he just said, I know your work is harder than what most people believe it is." And he said, "I just want to thank you." And he said, "It's always good to be around people who are people that have faith." Because he said there was a period of time, because I'm not sure how old he is now, but a period of time where he lost his. And I said, "Well, tell me a little bit about that." So then the nurse came in, and while she's drawing all of my fluid out, he's talking about where his faith went. And there's a period of time he really struggled with his faith. Actually, he said, "I believe I lost my faith." And I said, "If you don't mind, I don't know if you want to wait until the nurse leaves or whatever." And he goes, "No, I can share this. I'll share how it happened." Because I asked, I said, how did you come to that point?" And he said, "Well, my mother was a member of a church up in a nearby city, and I don't want to announce where that's at. It's pretty close. Where the minister and several members disrespected her. And the first thing he thought is, if that's what God's all about, I've lost it. And I thought, man, it's so difficult to get people to get their eyes off of the church. Because the church is going to disappoint you. But then again, it's a challenge that I believe that we hear from John, this message that we've been examining about how we need to grow in faith and grow in knowledge and grow in grace so that we can display our Lord and Jesus Christ to other people, to where to the point that if we do a wrong, we'll make it right with other people. It can only take one act from one person who calls them a follower of Jesus to turn a heart to where their faith is shattered. Now, thankfully, he said later on in years, he had some friends that took their life more seriously and that they were building their faith back up with God in a deep relationship, in a close relationship. And so they shared that with him. He started right back into his journey in Scripture again. And now he said, I am happy to tell you, I am now faithful again. And I wanted to get out of the bed. I said, for some reason, I said, I have to tell you, I feel a whole lot better right now. It seemed like he got my mind off of my sickness and the illness and the infection that I had and got off the mind of the lady pulling out all that blood and sticking me and jabbing me to the point to where I felt a peace that I hadn't felt in a few days because of a physical issue. I like it when I don't like it when physically I carry 104 temperature. But I like it when other people can install me 100 to 500 to 1,000 temperature in faith. And it was a great uplifting story. I needed to be in the ER. More than one reason. And I pray that I gave encouragement to him and I said, just keep the faith. Keep the faith. And I hope I get to meet you again. And so now I've got a purpose in mind to go see this young man again. And to be able to maybe talk to him again just by building a relationship. And we'll see what happens. It goes from there. But that was my time last week. And I want to spend today's time with you talking about the second letter that John writes. So if you have your swords with you, I want you to go to 2 John. And again, you got to remember, this just says, you know, the verses are put in for us by man so that we can find things. But he just writes a letter here. But he's also talking to other believers, talking to them about, in these letters, about churches to be aware of some teachings that were going around about Jesus that was false. Some of the teaching was that Jesus didn't actually become a human being. He looked like a human, but he wasn't human. And And John just has to tell them, and you'll hear him say this again and again, when you find repetitive writing, we need to pay attention. And so he deals with that and tries to uplift with that and tries to counsel his readers to remember the importance that Jesus is the Son of God. Because they had the ones who were called Antichrist, that they were against Christ. They were saying Christ was not God's Son. He also stresses the importance of living the life of love. So let's listen to the elder, which just simply means he's now an older man. I love it when we keep Scripture, Scripture, instead of trying to put titles behind them. So let's listen to this older man. To the lady chosen by God, and to her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all who know the truth. Because the truth which lives in us will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son, Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has been given me great joy to find that some of your children, walking in the truth just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one that we have had from the beginning. I asked that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His command. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who don't know the knowledge of Jesus Christ as the coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. And whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings. Very encouraging letter. Very uplifting letter. And he starts out with writing to the lady. Now, you might say, well, who is the lady? Well, you know, again, I don't put a whole bunch into it. I like reading other readings and other people's thoughts and stuff. And again, I can never find just one person agreeing with the other person other than maybe a group or something. But most likely here, this is probably a Gentile congregation of God's people that have not heard the other letter. that he wanted to write them, that he wanted to share with them. Now, some people think that it's a particular lady in the church or a believer in their children, and that's okay, because really what he's trying to talk to is he's trying to talk to a believer or a group of believers. And so with that, what he's trying to say is that you know what the truth is, because the truth lives in them and will be with them forever. I remember it kind of helped me out with the to the lady thing, is that for years I went trout fishing with my dad in Webster County, West Virginia, and in a little town, well, it's not even incorporated. I think if Hee-Haw did their salute town, it would be the town of Burgoo, West Virginia. And I think the population was 5. And it was in Webster County. We go through Burgoo. We go back to a trailer along the Elk River. Well, one time my dad described the Elk River as, he goes, "I'm going to go see the lady." All right, Dad. You married the mom. What lady are you talking about? Right? He said, no, it's called the lady because so many fishermen love to go to be with the lady. And it's almost like they do have this intimate relationship, as they stand and they listen and as they fish the Elk River. And it's kind of amazing because, you know, the church is called the bride. And here we can say that to the lady, John's trying to say grace and mercy and peace. I pray that God, the Father, will come and be with them and stay with them because of their belief. That they know what the truth is about Jesus. That Jesus is the Son of God. That they put Him first in their life. And like some of the people were doing, he was very thankful hearing that. But also he reminds them that they need to love each other. Whoever spoke to Eric's mom or grandmother in a nearby town in a congregation needed to hear this letter. Because whoever showed the disrespect that shattered the faith of a young man needed to know and be reminded that we are commanded to love one another. Now, it's not our love. I found out something. My experience and over about around close to 30 years now of preaching and teaching, my experience is that in the world, and sometimes too often, the world has crept into the lady, the bride, the church. Is that I've had people in the church define to me what it means to love them. But what I find out is they're not talking about the love that Christ has, that we could go out and love each other as Christ has loved us. Mostly, it's said this way and explained this way. They'd say, "Now, my brother, if you're going to love me, you need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing this, or you need to start doing that. And if you don't love me this way, that I say is love, then you don't love God. Now that's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Because if you're not having Christ in the conversation, you know, how many times do you question Christ's love for other people? Do you believe he loved the Pharisees even though he called them whitewashed tombs? Now when we read it, they say, oh, Jesus having a bad day. No, he wasn't having a bad day. He was having a truthful day for hearts that were making laws where there were none. And those hearts said, well, if he was from God, he would love God. And if he would love God, he would follow the traditions of the godly men. That's why Jesus was hated by religious teachers. What about Peter? I don't know how many times you've ever felt this, but what if Jesus came up to you and you said something about how you would say, you thought it was a commitment statement to say, I'll die for you. I'll die for you. And then go deny him three times. What about when Peter was talking to Jesus and Jesus said he needed to die and Peter said, I'm not going to let that happen. Now, that sounds like a pretty cool commitment, right? A loving commitment to Jesus. I'm not going to let you die. We're here to protect you. And then Jesus turns to him and says, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking as man thinks. Thankfully, Peter loved Jesus so much. He didn't want to turn against him and kill him. He wanted to follow him that much more because he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And John was his closest friend, and he saw him hanging on the cross. And he says that this is a command. Now, the picture right before with the military, just the back couple of them. Yeah, with the military, I was starting thinking about commandments. You know, commandments are just, seems like, just the word command now is becoming, ooh. A lot of people are like, oh, you mean I gotta follow that? And I think it creeps into our own belief system sometimes. But I tell you, for the people who decide to enlist, what's enlisting anyway? It's making a commitment. Enlisting, they say, I'm going in so that I can be equipped and I can be trained and so I can protect what I believe in as our country. And then these young men in these pictures learn how to walk by a command. And they walk in sync with each other. And I don't know when's the last time you ever saw a military march. What if our love in the body of Christ with that in sync and in step with the Spirit and in step with God? Wouldn't it be amazing? I'm amazed. I'm always looking for somebody to mess up. And it just seems like they never do. But guess what happened? They just inform him and say, hey, guys, figure it out. I think it was a disciplined teaching to learn how to march this way so that they could go on and learn other things about how to protect our country. It's just marching in the line and carrying a rifle. That's not going to get it done. But I tell you one thing, it's the beginning of discipline and training and caring and in sync with other people. And I believe that's what the church is. If we forget, I know it's a bride, I know it's the body, I know it's a family, but we forget we're supposed to be soldiers of Jesus. We're in battle. The battlefield is not the people in the world. The battlefield is happening behind the world in the spiritual realm. That's where our enemy dwells, and he convinces people. And oh, how he hates it when somebody that is a child of God goes and spends some time and loves with people that he's already got in his grip. And he's going to fight tooth and nail to keep them there. And then, but what if we just sit back and just criticize the world? Let's get mad at Satan in the spiritual realms and start loving the people who are confused by that. And if we can do that, then God could use us. But the thing is, we're going to have to learn how to walk together. We're going to have to learn how to walk with God. And what's he say about his command? Walking in his command, obedience to his command in verse 6. We walk in obedience to his commands. Not saying, well, if you love me this way, then I know that I'll love you. That you have to do what I ask you to do. Loving relationships only get defined by Jesus' teaching and his model and who he is, not by people's stipulations. Now, how do we react to people's stipulations? I believe we listen, we tell them thanks for being an open and honest, and then you move on. That's not how I feel inside. Here recently, I had somebody criticize me, and through email. That's one of the things I like what John writes. He goes, you know, I don't want to use pen and ink. I'm going to wait till I'm face to face with you. It's almost like he's saying, I don't want to text. I don't want to call you on the cell phone. I want to be with you. Now, I like our technology to the point to where people who cannot make it here can still be here. But I don't like it where it's coming to the point to where people would rather be there to stay away from here. See the difference? Face to face, loving one another, sharing those things. Now, I'm going to give you one thing you can do through texting that I got this week. Cammie got it, I got it, and I just want to share with you with this. This kind of just tells you that this person was following the command of God, I believe. And it's from a sister, Melinda Aldman. She was, where we first met her, it was at the Special Needs Carnival at Brooks Avenue. And she kind of took over that event after Barry Woodhouse passed away. Barry was a guy that just called me and said, you got to get your family over here. You got to get your family over here. Every time I kept on telling him, I said, you know, well, at that time, you know, I had to watch our budget and everything, and I had to say, you know, we need to be careful too, because, you know, need to stay in a hotel, not in homes. We got the two wheelchairs. We have to pack up. It doesn't matter if we're going 2 months, 2 weeks, or 2 days. We got to pack up everything. and all this equipment and all these diapers and all the clothing and everything just to go over for a 2-day or actually a 1-day event. And Barry's like, you get your family here, I'll take care of the rest. And he laid out the red carpet, and we didn't deserve it at all. And it's so special. He passed away immediately of an unexpected heart attack. Melinda took that over. She kept what was in passion and Barry's heart for our family going and going. Right now, I know that she lives in Yadkinville with her family, but she will send out. Now, if you want to use text when you can't call or spend time face-to-face, this is how to use it. Okay? This is how to use it. Because she sent a text that said, I read a passage while I was reading scripture today that I thought that would help you guys out with your loss with Megan. If you think Cammie and I have got over it, you falsely thought about that. I don't think we'll ever get over it. We're going to just get through it. And it's going to take things like this to help us through. And she just out of the blue, and has Cammie's email, my email on there, and she said, I want you to read Isaiah 43, the first three verses, at least first 1, 2, and 3.5 of the verse. So I'm going to read that to you. I believe that we have. Do we have it on the screen? Yeah, here we go. So you can read along with me. But now this is what the Lord says. He created you, Jacob. He who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I don't know about you, but there are certain days that I get my mind off of that comfort of God, and that I need the comfort of God, and that all it took was just one person to send what they read and thought of us immediately and just texted us a quick message to say, I hope this gives you encouragement and power and strength to make it through today. And then when we read that verse, as saying, wow, God is the one that has created Kevin. Also, he's the one that has formed his church. We're his. But we're going to go through waters. We're going to go through rivers. And it's going to feel like we're going to drown. But they're not going to sweep over us. They're not going to drown us. And when we go through fires of trials and tribulations, that we can know that God says, I'm your God. Those blazes will not harm you. Actually, those blazes can build you. And for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Then she texts us these three things. He sees, he knows, and he cares. That's your God. He knows your name. He knows your circumstances. With God, people matter. And may we, being His people, walk by His command, not ours.